All right. Hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our 20th episode. We've made 20 episodes already. Carson is not here. He has decided to be a good student for once, or whatever they say, and study for an exam that he just found out about today. So blame him. But I am joined by Nate. Nate, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Just ready to talk some baseball, maybe some good stuff.
It is a good stuff. You know, TCU walked away with a 5-2 victory over Dallas Baptist last night. You weren't at the game, but we saw you after and you were pumped up. You were feeling it. I think the boys were feeling it on the
For
field too.
sure.
Talk to me. How do you feel? You know, I know you weren't there, but I'm sure you were following along. How are you feeling after that game?
I mean, first off, tremendous pitching. And it was good to see. It's continuing. And even though DBU's not in the top 25 anymore, they dropped out, they're still a high powerhouse team. And I think it was a good win for us to get back on track if we are going to. And I mean, what we have done in these past two weeks has actually been pretty impressive because we've been able to somewhat shift gears and turn it around despite losing the series to Texas. We look a lot better, but I feel like we were taking advantage of our hits. We didn't have a huge number of hits, but it was a good number, and we maximized on that. And I think we held them to their lowest possibilities just on one simple error. But other than that, we were good to go.
Yeah, let's dive into the game a little bit. TC won 5-2. It's kind of a typical midweek game. We saw for the team a little bit of players who need a rest or maybe hit a slump, get a nice reset. We saw Anthony Silva take the day off, and we saw Chase Brunson take the day off. Sam Myers slotted in as center field, Reddy Robinson at shortstop, and Cam DeSalsa second base. It was a bullpen game like normal. We saw a few arms out the pen that we haven't. That well, I say we've seen normally. Caden Parker got the start, of course. He looked good until, as Sarlo said in his post game, he looked good until he didn't. It seems like he tried to do a little bit too much, and I think it's the same thing. We saw Storm here also come in, pitch 2 innings, and I think it's kind of the same story with Storm, right? Looked good until he didn't, kind of forced the ball a little bit too much, started getting wild. Zach Morris came in, 2 hits, or 2 innings pitch, gave up 2 hits, and. You know, Zach looked good too. We saw Hunter Hodges. He came in, gave up a first pitch bomb to Grant Jay, which, I mean, it's Grant Jay, one of the best catchers in the country.
Yeah.
Not much you could do about that. And then Hunter Hodges came in and struck out the next three batters after allowing a home run. So that was good to see. Ben Abelt came in, got an inning of work in. And Luis Rodriguez came out the pen and got the save to close it up. Let's talk lineup first. Anthony Silva getting the day off. Just kind of a maybe a mental break, or do you think Soilos might be trying something out?
I mean, I think it's a mental break. You're not going to take one of your best defensive weapons and change them quickly like that and leave it. I think it's practically he said, "Hey, you're taking this night off. Get your mind right. Watch these other hitters, see what they're doing, and kind of just reset." And I was hoping he did this earlier in the season, to be honest. But it was much needed, and I think Anthony will benefit from this in the long term, whether it's this weekend, next weekend, whenever, but it was huge. I think it's a huge reset for him.
Yeah, I think the reason we didn't see it happen early in the season is because you already kind of lost your voice of the infield and Peyton Chatagnier being out with his injury that he was at. And you kind of, I mean, I know you're rotating Carson Bowen and Curtis Byrne at first, but you kind of need that up the middle presence with Brad Robinson at second base or maybe Brody or whoever was at second base that I think maybe it was kind of more vital to keep him in that point. But it is good to hopefully that he gets a nice mental reset day. Comes into the weekend against Kansas State and he's firing on all cylinders because the team needs that. Sam Myers, have a game, why don't you? Sam Myers went 1 for 3 with the triple, 2 RBIs. He left three batters on base, but you know what? He did his job when it needed. And that was a nice line drive shot to right center field. Curtis Byrne, 2 for 3 on the day, 1 walk, 2 RBIs. Hey, nice to see him back out there. Peyton Chatagnier. 2 walks, RBI. 0 for 2 on the day. Didn't get a hit, got a sac fly, but 2 walks. He's having better at bats. last night that we saw, and I think it showed. Carson Bowen, 2 for 4, 1 run, 1 strikeout, 1 left on base. He looked good. And he talked about it in his post game that even though they weren't the hardest hit balls, right? He kind of got robbed a little bit of some hard hit balls this weekend. So it's a give or take with baseball, and we saw that happen this weekend. Let's go to switch kind of points here, talk about the pitching a little bit. Who impressed you the most? I know you're big on Cademan Parker. He did look good to start the game, but out of Cademan, Storm, Zach Morris, Hunter, Benny Belt, Louie, who is there one you want to highlight at all?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Hunter Hodges because he could have easily got down, and he came in a crucial part of the game. The game was not put away, and yeah, he gave up the moonshot, but he came in and struck out the rest of them, and that was huge for his confidence, and it just shows that he's not afraid, and that's gonna happen. Like you said, that home run is bound to happen to an all-star player like Jay is, but like. I mean, he just looked confident and he didn't look frightened by the situation he had put himself in.
Yeah, I talked about it Monday that Hunter Hodges is going to be one of the most vital bullpen pieces going forward. Without the likes of Kyle Ayers and Mason Bixby and having no flamethrowers kind of in the pen right now, that I think Hunter Hodges is going to play a big role. And for him to come out and look that sharp compared to what we've kind of seen where he has those bumpy streaks, it's a good confidence booster for him going forward. Do want to talk about Louis a little bit coming in to save.
Yeah.
I know I have a question later on about if we're going to see a
Okay.
starting rotation difference, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now we're not. Sarlo said that Louis was chomping at the bits basically all Sunday and Monday and yesterday going up to the game that he wanted to get in and just get an inning of work in after his start Saturday. And Sarlo said he was willing to give it to him as a confidence booster. And I think he looked good, right?
Yeah.
And Louis has looked good even in his starts. He just has maybe one or two sliders that don't bite as much as they should, and he gets hit around a little bit. But that's kind of the story with Louis. If his slider's not working, he's not as effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win. Nate, is it a turning point victory? Is it a feel-good victory? You know.
It's definitely a feel-good victory. We haven't been able to do this to DBU and who knows how long. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a turning point that can happen. I'll wait till this weekend to make my full opinion on that. But I feel like we're starting to see our players start to click again. But it's going to depend on like how we play and who shows up and who doesn't. Like Carson Bowen showing up, yeah, I feel like his mentality should switch after that. They don't have to be hard hit balls to score. They don't have to be hard hit balls to get on base. We just need them in play and on the ground. And that's the team we are. So I think it's a mental boost for this team going forward. And I think we will round that corner.
Yeah, I think like you talked about, like you've seen a lot of good things come in the past, you know, Tex series, the Texas series. You saw a lot of good things happen. And last night you kind of saw a culmination of all of it a little bit. The guys had good at bats. They scored 5 runs. The pitching was there, and it's kind of been, hey, the pitching is there. You just need 4 or 5 runs and you're pretty much, you know, 7 for your last 10, right? Which is really good. That's, you know, basically what TC needs to do the rest of the way to be able to have a solid shot of not missing out on the Big 12 tournament. And I think it's kind of been building up, but I don't want to say it's a turning point win because there's no such thing as one win per, you know, as your turning point. It's a kind of a culmination of everything clicking. But if there was to be a turning point win, I think it's this one. Bouncing off a weekend series loss to Texas, you could have just rolled over with DBU coming into town. But no, you stood your ground, you looked good, you fought well, and team had a bunch of different haircuts. Cole Klecker doesn't have his usual hair anymore. He's got a buzz
Nope.
cut. So, you know, I think that the guys even kind of realize, hey, maybe let's get some mojo, try different things, see what's going on. And, you know, I think it's kind of a culmination. Yeah, let's talk some Kansas State. Let's talk Kansas State. Nate, I'm gonna get in front of it. I want to jump in front of it. I want to say something. I
Okay.
said me and Carson on our first episode, we did a bold take, right? I said Kansas State was going to be my Big 12 winner. And I was hoping that maybe this would be the biggest series of the season for the Big 12. And it is kind of, but for different reasons. They're not battling for first. K-State's kind of hoping to get back in that first place fight. They're 9-9 in the Big 12 right now, 25-15 overall on the season. And, TCU's just fighting to stay alive right now. But you look at Kansas State, and they're a team that's a very, very up and down. Been on a very big up and down lately. They lost 2 out of 3 to Texas. They lost 2 out of 3 to UCF. They got swept by Oklahoma. They won the series against Oklahoma State. They won the series against Cincinnati. Swept Houston. Like they're kind of not a, I don't want to say fraudulent. I don't want to use that term because they're not. They're very good. But I think their record in the Big 12 is better than what they actually have been. Until going into the last weekend, they beat Kansas State. They beat them handedly. And that's what kind of scares me, is Kansas State's a team that just needed to get right to get it all to click. Beat Oklahoma State Friday 6-5, Saturday 7-2, and lost Sunday 6-4. And I don't know. I feel good going into the series. I feel better than I did against Texas, right? I don't know how you feel, but it feels like a very winnable series against a team that, if you win the series against Kansas State, that's a big, big, big momentum booster.
Oh, 100%. And I feel like they're a good enough team to test us to see what we're doing. Kind of like Texas. They kind of test the waters. They're not the top dog, but like, let's get some wins. Let's get some confidence. And the only thing I'm worried about is if it all shows up at once. We can't just have pitching, and then a hitting the next day, pitching the next day. It all has to click at once, and it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be steady. And I think that's one thing I hope Louis, with that inning of work, we'll see what happens, but he has to bring it on whatever day. And so does Cole Klecker with coming in closing. He can't give out that shot out of the center field or right field or wherever it went. Has to be steady. And that's my key for this week. And David Bishop, he's used to our stadium, so keeping him at bay is going to be key. He hit a lot of home runs in his time at TCU, so he's going to be my player of the week for Kansas State.
Oh, yeah, your little write-up. That'll be posted when tomorrow.
Yeah.
The only thing, I think a big thing for this weekend is gonna be that Kansas State doesn't really strike out much, right? They got a lot of walks on the season, not a lot of strikeouts, except Chuck Ingram. Their left fielder, who has 16 walks on the year, is 60 strikeouts. So quite the difference. He strikes out a lot, but he's still hitting above 290 on the season. So kind of a two true outcome hitter. He strikes out in 1/3 of his at bats, but he's also getting a hit in 1/3 of his at bats. So it's just, I mean, they have arguably the best shortstop in the conference, a Kalen Culpepper, 308 batting average on the season. 394 on base percentage, which isn't the best, but slugging percentage of 533, so he makes up for it. He's got 7 home runs on the season, 22 walks to 30 strikeouts, 13 stolen bases. And we're gonna see Curtis Byrne and Carson Bowen get tested behind the plate this weekend. We saw them get tested by Texas, and I think we're gonna see him a lot more, especially Brendan Jones. He's got 28 stolen bases on the season. 28.
Wow. Wow.
That's like TCU numbers you're used to seeing from last year. And it's they're gonna test it. And I think, why wouldn't you, right? Behind the plate hasn't been that great at throwing people out. Wow, 28 strikeouts. TCU only has about, I believe it's like 33 on the season as a team, which something you're not really used to seeing with the Frogs. But anyone you want to talk about or highlight really quick on the hitting before we switch to Kansas State's pitching? Because I think there's a little bit more to talk about there.
And not really anybody. Like I highlighted Bishop. He came in clutch the other day and walked it off for them. And I think he's a key piece going forward. He knows a lot of these TCU pitchers. He knows this field, and I think he's gonna make a have a big weekend. So that's who I want to highlight.
That's gonna be interesting to watch. Is, you know, there's a little bit of that, like not hate, but more animosity. Like, let me show him what I can do. That he's gonna be playing with a little bit more juice. Talk about Kansas State's starting rotation though. Their Saturday and or the Friday Saturday guy have been pretty much locked down for the season. It's been Owen Burema and Josh Winthrop. Owen Burema has a 5.5 ERA, 3-3 on the season. He's got 31 walks to 65 strikeouts, and opponents are hitting a 243 batting average. He's definitely hittable. And I'd like to see, but he's got 12 hit by pitches on the season, right? So he's not the most, he's not the most, you know, control eccentric pitcher. Which hopefully means TCU's gonna take some counts deeper. Or if they get a first pitch fastball, let's jump on it. I think you kind of can't be at that in between state of deciding which at bat you want to be in. Josh Winthrop, 6.75 ERA, 2-2 on the season, 55 hits allowed, 46 strikeouts to only 11 walks. So he's more of your control guy. But opponents are batting a 309 batting average this week or against him this season. And the rotation's hittable, right? Like this is or their Sunday start has been kind of thrown up between a bunch of different guys. You're looking at Blake Dean, Jacob Frost, Andrew Evans. All of them have ERAs above 5 on the season as well. You're looking at guys that TCU should be able to take advantage of this.
Yeah, I mean, they got to maximize early. That's one thing I don't like about what the Frogs have done is they wait to come alive in the like seventh, eighth, and ninth. It's not going to cut it because they've saved all their bullpen and they're going to throw any guy they got at you. And if you get to their starters early, make them get to that bullpen, make them test every option they got. And I think that's the key. And swing on the first pitch. What do you got to lose at this point? You got to make contact, put it in play. I love what Chatagnier is doing, and but he's gonna have to start hitting the ball a little more. But I think we'll see that this weekend.
Yeah, eventually that's the fall, right? Speaking of their bullpen a little bit, they got three guys in their pen that can shut you down when they need to. You're looking at JJ Stack, 16 innings pitched, 2.3 ERA, 18 strikeouts to 9 walks, 232 opponent batting average. Cole Wissenbaker, 206 opponent batting average, 3.63 ERA, 17 strikeouts to 7 walks. And then you had what was my prediction for the Big 12 pitcher of the year in Tyson Nabers, who has some of the most electric stuff in the Big 12 as far as a relief pitcher, even as a starter. Tyson Nabers, 4.05 ERA on the season, 29 strikeouts and 10 walks. So he's not the Tyson Nabers that you're used to seeing, but we also hadn't seen the LeBaron Johnson that we were used to seeing, and we saw him a little bit on Sunday, right? Like,
Yeah.
all it takes is one game and a pitcher's back on their stuff. So I'm kind of gonna go the same route that Brett went whenever we did a preview for Texas. Is if you're down one run and Tyson Nabers is coming in, it's pretty much done. You're not gonna score off of him. He's got the stuff and it's electric enough that you got to do your damage early, like you talked about.
Yeah. And I mean, Nabers is looking for a game like us to put his name back in that pitcher of the year mark. I mean, he's still got time to make that mark. He has time to bring down that ERA. And I feel like he's on the jumping point, but I think he's a little bit missing on some of his stuff. And that's why he's getting a little bit shelled at the end. But like you said, you can't wait to the end because he'll shut you down. And if we get to the bottom of our lineup, it's over. So it's just something to keep an eye of how we're doing early in the game. And if we're swinging on the first pitch, I would like to take counts deep because you're wearing out pitchers, but at this time, take them out by penetrating the system, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's jump into some questions real quick about the series. Do you think we see the same rotation we saw last weekend and have 2 weekends now? Toley, Lewis, and Mason Bixby on Sunday?
I would say there's going to be some change.
Okay.
I don't think Bigsby's going to start on Sunday.
Who do you think starting in his place?
I would say Louis Rodriguez is going to move that Sunday role, and Clicker's going to get that Saturday role.
Yeah.
I feel like Bigsby has done better just going 2 innings and being done. I think we see him. I just don't think we see him start.
I think we're going to see the same rotation. And I kind of like the Bixby as an opener into Klecker. I kind of like it. So I think we see the same one. I think Louis still starts on Saturday as well. Just because he's kind of slotted into that. And I wouldn't hate seeing Bixby start Saturday and Klecker come in after, just because I feel like a lot of it's maybe Sunday with Bixby was when you're throwing a potential season-changing series on the line against Texas at Texas. You have a true freshman starting that Sunday game. Maybe a little bit of nerves catching up to you. That maybe let's throw someone in who's been here long enough, maybe a little bit more composed. That if that Sunday game is a rubber match game and you need to win the series, you're not throwing out, a true freshman who's done well on the season. Don't get me wrong, he's been amazing, but that's a lot of pressure to throw on an 18-year-old coming in and pitching.
I just feel like Bigsby has shown time and time again that he just doesn't have the duration. And like one of the announcers was saying versus Texas, you see guys throwing high velocity like this, like Paul Skenes, and you compare him to Bigsby, but Paul Skenes can go 9 innings and he doesn't get very tired. I mean, he's still throwing 100.
Yeah,
Bigsby's gonna have to adapt.
I believe Bixby can have a long outing. He just has to cut down on his walks. He gets a lot of counts in 2-2, 3-2, and then walks kill him. And they raise your pitch count so much that it's hard to fight back for that. All right. Are we gonna see the same lineup we saw all weekend?
I say we're sticking with it. I mean, but I like what some of these people are doing, like Sauce. I mean, he looks good. I mean, I don't know if you'll see him move into a different role, stay in the same role. I don't know if Anthony Silva, we're going to see him this weekend. I don't know how long that gap's going to be, but I expect it to stay the same. I bet it's a one game rest, take your break, get back in, Silva. But we'll have to see.
I think you're seeing the same exact lineup as well. I think maybe if Anthony Silva is hitless going into Sunday, maybe we see something switch up a little bit again. But like I said, that's a big change you got to make in the middle of your infield. That if you're going into a rubber match game with a series tied 1-1, you don't want to switch that up, right? You need that voice there. You need your guy there at shortstop. That's a hard decision to make, and I'm thankful that we don't. Nate, what's your confidence TCU wins this series? 1 through 10, 10 being go ahead and mark, put it down as a win. And 1 being I'd rather not play them at all.
I'm gonna go 8.
Like that.
I'm pretty confident. I mean, I'm not 100% confident because of how we have played, but I'm thinking you're gonna see this team continue to progress. And I think we last weekend we even looked better than we did against Texas Tech. Our pitching looked a lot more poised, and like DBU, they look poised. So I think you're gonna continue to see us continue to progress in that field. So I'm gonna give. My confidence is going to rise for this series, especially with them not being the top of the pack. But so that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the 7. The only thing that scares me is Lewis still hasn't had a good start in his last 2 starts. That I'd like to see a good start out of him. He has a good start. Really looks good in those first 2 innings. My confidence goes to like a 8.5, 9. How important is the Friday night game? Is that the must-win game? Like you gotta set that tone.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to win it. Although versus Tech, it didn't
Yeah.
matter.
Versus Tech, it didn't matter. Versus Texas, it also didn't matter, just in the inverse way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it gets our guys fired up.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I mean, I want to see it, but it's hard to say if it's gonna help or not because we saw
Yeah.
them put them away. Maybe we do not win that one and we
Yeah.
look to the head. I don't know, but let's sweep the series and not worry about that.
Is that your prediction for the weekend?
I think we sweep it.
Okay. I go with the TCU 2-1, 2 games to 1. I think they win Friday night because Peyton Tolley is a stud. I think they're gonna win the Saturday game because Lewis looks like he's been like he's trying to figure it out, and I think he does figure it out this Saturday. And I think they drop the Sunday game just because the new uniforms get them maybe a little bit too hyped up. All right, let's talk around the Big 12 a little bit before we close this thing out. Pretty dull weekend of baseball, if we're being honest. We got a weekend series of BYU at Oklahoma State, Cincinnati at UCF, Baylor at West Virginia, Texas Tech at Kansas. Houston is playing host to UTA because no Iowa State baseball. Texas at Oklahoma, so Red River rivalry. And then Kansas State at TCU. Any of those pop out at the page that you kind of want to talk about, or?
I'm gonna say Baylor's gonna beat West Virginia.
Okay.
And I think you said Kansas is playing Tech.
Yes.
Kansas wins that 2-1.
Hot take, Kansas sweeps Texas Tech. Texas
Okay.
Tech can only hit at home, and they're playing at Kansas.
Yeah, I
So
mean,
I like that. And then my other hot take is Oklahoma sweeps Texas, and David Pierce gets fired by the end of the season.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think it's bound to happen. The fans are restless. They're booing
Yeah.
their own team.
There's a chance that if Oklahoma sweeps Texas, he gets fired at the end of the week. I think it's extreme, but there's a slight chance that happens.
Yeah, I don't think that's not real. I think it's realistic to think so. I know he's been a great coach, but he hasn't produced the numbers that Texas would have hoped and in the recent years, so I think they're ready for a change.
Yeah. All right, Nate. That'll do it. We're gonna not a long one today. Stars playing a little bit. We are still a Mark Stone hating podcast. We do not like that man.
Who's your MVP, real quick?
For this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Anthony Silva.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Curtis Byrne.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Yeah, I wanted to go Bowen, but Anthony Silva needs a little bit of vote of confidence, and I think he's my vote. Also, one more thing before I close this out is Kirk said that Brody Green is still out for a while, and we shouldn't expect to see him for a while, if at all, for the rest of the season. So. I have been in mourning all day to that news. But the Birdie Green fan club is still alive and well, and we are hoping that he comes back. But
Yeah.
yeah, all right, that'll do it. Nate, as always, thank you for being on here. Carson, we hope you pass your test and you'll be back Monday, and we're gonna talk a little bit of recap the weekend, hopefully off a Frog Series victory, and everyone enjoying the uniforms on Sunday. Thank you guys for listening.